Praise the Lord.
Happy to be out.
Amen.
So stand. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are very grateful. Lord, such a thankful people. Lord, for all You've done. Lord, we're so happy, Lord, to be gathered here this night. Lord, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Lord, we're here, Lord, to sing praises unto You, to sing about our home. Lord, to hear Thy word, Lord, and apply it to our lives. Lord, just give us revelation this night, Lord, more than anything in this life, we ask. Lord, just have Your way in this service. Everything that's said and done be for Your glory, Your honor. In the precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Page 8, and I only believe. Oh, I want to see Him. Amen. Is that your desire? Amen. Yes. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow, many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, there's all that, all my last ever to enjoy. When service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me life. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever He guides. Oh, I want to see Him, amen. Guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me find rest. There's all that, all at last, ever to rejoice. When
it's a song of reality. It's not a song, story. It's a song of reality. It's going to happen. Amen. And I'll be glad to see Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Page 256 in the same book. Amen. I have found the way. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I have found the way that leads to endless day. Friend. Think of the last two songs. It's always been a friend that's walked with me and guided me. Amen. Hallelujah. So precious. Amen. I'd like to sing that little chorus. Amen. 311. Or I'm sorry, the song on page 311. Amen. I ought to be happy here. Amen. But everybody will be happy there. Amen. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the Savior shall soon his glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, we'll be right back. What you are here is what you'll be there. I'm happy here for everything he's done for me, saints. Amen. Never want to forget. Never want to forget. And give him praise and glory and honor. Because he truly deserves it from the bottom of our hearts. Amen. Don't you love him? Appreciate him? Amen. We'll be praising his name throughout eternity, saints. Amen. It all starts right here in our hearts. Amen. I thank him. Appreciate him. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Kevin, would you mind taking up the offering this evening? Gensel? Amen. We won't lose our voices there either. Amen.
Good, brother. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how we truly have a joy in our hearts tonight. Just so thankful, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives and seeing you manifesting before us.
Amen.
And just helping our faith to grow, Lord, and just walking hand in hand with us. And I couldn't help but think, but, you know, some people around us may not even recognize what's going on out in the world, but they're just such a joy in our hearts,
Amen.
Lord, when we can see you moving on the scene and helping us to overcome things that maybe we never could have overcome before. And, oh, Lord, how we're just so thankful tonight. We pray, Lord, that you just bless this offering that it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Feeling so much better. Amen. Feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil, we don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, feeling so much better. Amen. Hallelujah. Talk about him too much, thanks. Amen. Anyone have a need upon their heart tonight? Brother Rip raising their hand. Amen. Keep them on your heart. We ask Brother Settles if you'd take the request.
Heavenly Father, Lord Richard.
Amen.
Father, for such a wonderful night. Lord,
yes.
A wonderful day to live.
Yes.
Father, where you come down and are revealing yourself completely. Lord, such a Lord of privilege.
Yes, amen.
Truly catching, we have revealed to us every word. Lord, as opportunities come and we can gather in. Lord, be able to be under your spirit, have you blessing us. Lord, just preparing our hearts for your word.
Yes.
Oh, God, the words just fail to be able to express our thankfulness.
Yes.
Lord, saints, Father, that has a need on our hearts, Lord, I pray that you would just touch each and every one abundantly. Lord, from the vast riches in heaven, may you meet every need.
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you now, Lord. Just be with us through the remaining of the service that you give your glory and honor to everything. We ask in your precious holy name.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Anyone got a song in their heart tonight? Or a special they'd like to sing? Anyone at all? Amen. Hallelujah. You sure? Amen. Let's all stand. We'll ask our pastor to come at this time and we'll sing our little chorus. Make me more like thee. Amen. Make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me that's filled with love.
Give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like Thee. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so greatly appreciative again this evening that you've given us this time. And we've come here, Lord, again, though it may just be a little Thursday evening service, and Lord, maybe many missing tonight. But yet, Lord, may we, by your Holy Spirit, bring those things that would, Lord, further us in the kingdom, O God, and to cause us to be stirred on the inside, to make sure everything is just exactly the way you want it to be. For Lord, we're living in perilous times, very dangerous times. Men would be lovers of their own selves and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They'd be very heady and high-minded. All these different things, Lord. But Lord, through your mercy and grace, keep us, Lord, in thy precious truth. Keep us, Lord, in thy special Holy Spirit, that, oh God, that your life would be made manifest to these tabernacles of flesh, that you would be glorified, oh God. We pray now that you would speak to our hearts through the word, and help us each one now to make sure everything's out of our minds and thoughts, Lord, that would be distracting, that, Lord, you could speak to us through the word. We just commit ourselves unto you this night. For we know you're the only one that knows all things. And we commit ourselves to you now in your holy, precious name. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, so good to see you here this evening. Those that was able to make it. And pray God will bless you. Pray God will bless those who couldn't make it, that desired to be here. Amen. We know there's a lot of sickness going around right now. I guess tomorrow they've closed even several schools around here to just clean and try to get rid of some of the germs and everything. So, but by God's grace, trust he'll keep us going. Amen. Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles if you'd like to turn with me. I'm going to speak on just a little subject this evening, trying not to hold you too long. But we're just going to speak on a little subject that seems to be too common among people in this message. But we'll just title the message, The Life of Christ. But let's turn to Galatians 2:20. The life of Christ. Now think of that. Like I said, it's spoke of a lot. And yet on the other hand, in a lot of churches, it's not spoke on a lot. It's kind of a preference with the minister, I guess. But nevertheless, without Christ living through these tabernacles of flesh, we're lost. That's all there is to it. So we find here in Galatians 2:20, let's read as Apostle Paul said here, I am crucified. Now we'll come back to that in a little bit. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Now think of that, what he's saying. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life, now notice that life, which I now live in the flesh. See, it's not the same life he used to live. I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith. Understand this revelation, what God has revealed to us, of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now may the Lord bless during his word, and you may be seated. Now, I might say a few hard things tonight, maybe. I trust that I won't. I told you something where you couldn't take it. But I guess if we ain't real men, maybe I'll leave now. Because, you know, it's something, and it's a time we're living in, saints, that, you know, it's inevitable. I mean, the prophet plainly showed us And God revealed through that prophet of exactly what God was looking for. We know this is the age of life. This is not an age of gifts operating. That was in Pentecost, but we're now, it's an age of life. It's a life age. And we realize that it has to be in this hour, or we just ain't going to make it. And we'll see what he's going to say here in a little bit. But to think about this again, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Now, if you look it up and really examine it, and then examine it back with what the prophet said, in the Greek it says, one who has wrought the extinction of our former corruption by the death of Christ on the cross, and have become utterly estranged from our formal habits of feelings and actions. Now think of that. See, now you can see why Paul's saying this now. You see? He said, I am crucified with Christ. I mean, it's totally, utterly estranged from my former habits. Yeah. And actions. And feelings. So, and we know, as any of us that's here tonight that have the new birth, maybe some still sit here don't have, but we that sit here with the new birth tonight, we know what our actions was before. We know what it was to get upset at every little thing that come along. Maybe we had a terrible problem with temper, you know, every little thing that pop up, we just get so angry and we just want to try to destroy whatever it was that come against us. Maybe we couldn't take somebody rubbing us all day long, just poking you all day long. Maybe you couldn't stand your wife before. Maybe you couldn't stand your husband before. Maybe you couldn't raise your children right. You know, you had terrible attitudes to the children and get angry with them and have temper with them. Do all these things. Maybe you'd be on the job and you'd have these terrible ways of actions of being involved with filth and ungodly jokes they had and the filth they wanted to talk about, and maybe talk about what went on at the racetrack and maybe what went on here and there and the other and what went on at the ball game and this other bunch of nonsense. You know, it's just that former life of corruption. And on feelings at high stake to where everything was so easily to change it and make it go contrary to the word and not be Christ-like. Actions that come forth that was definitely not scriptural, definitely not like God. It was not godliness, you know. It was nothing even in it to be like God or to be godliness, you see. So the former actions and feelings and all this corruption, Paul is telling us he no longer had it. Yeah. He said, the life which I now live, I live by the faith. See, the Holy Spirit had revealed to him what the true new birth was and what the actions of the new birth was. He knew what it was for Christ to be living in him now and controlling, that's a big word, controlling his flesh, you see. And then Paul always made sure that his flesh didn't rise above that because he said, I keep under my body, bring him to subjection. How was he able to do that? By the Holy Spirit and by what God had revealed to him. Anytime that the flesh would try to rise up. Now, you know, I kind of think of Paul many times because if anybody would have had a right to rise up and show himself, or I should say a fleshly carnal attitude, it would have been Paul, kind of like our Lord Jesus Christ. With all the things that people was doing to him, persecuting, and just constantly after him. If there's any two people right there that had a right, if you want to say it that way, to rise up and be carnal, standing against evil, and wicked ways and take it in a carnal way, it would have been them too. You see? And why was Paul so much like Christ? Because he said, and it was true, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You know, this flesh body is moving. You see? Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life. Now, when he's saying here the life, he's not talking about that physical being there that's the actual thing taking place of your breathing and the oxygen is going in and out of your lungs and the blood's pumping through the veins and all these different things, and you're eating food and you're digesting it and things like that. That's not the life he's talking about. The life I now live, the life of feelings and actions, deeds, now. The life I now live, you see, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, why am I bringing this out tonight? Lord knows. But do we have a reality, really, of what the life of Christ is? We say we know. We can point it out in the scripture. We can point it out in quotes. We can point out what the prophet said. But do we really have a reality of what the life of Christ is? Could you go through your everyday life, especially those that had to work all day long or maybe got a family raising and you're in a lot of activity, if you're just sitting around home all day long, nothing's going on, nothing going around you, you know, it's a little bit different, you know. But I mean, when you're really hammered with daily life and things are just slammed on you, are you able, if you had to take the opportunity, if it was required to take the opportunity, and you had to show God that every action you got, every attitude you have, every thought going through your mind, everything that you're doing in life and decisions you make would be what he would do. That's where people come up with the old excuse, I'm not God. I'm not Jesus Christ. Absolutely, you're right. But I think it's where a lot of people's missing it. They're missing the reality of really what that new birth did. Yeah. And why, sure, we want to make excuses because everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to be a Christian. Everybody wants to be a good person. But if you had to stand it up before God, can everything we, our actions, what we talk about, what our decisions we make, the places we go, the things we maybe get involved with and other worldly people, can we really prove that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ would do? Not alone our Lord Jesus Christ, but even maybe what Apostle Paul would have done that Christ was living in. You see? Can we really prove that? When maybe we still get upset because somebody flipped their finger at you, or because maybe they pulled in your parking place, or maybe they cut you off going down the road. They maybe come over in your lane. Yeah. Maybe they falsely accused you of something. Can you really still say, is Jesus Christ living, as Apostle Paul said here? I honestly believe, by being able to read the scripture and by what the prophet said about Paul, Paul was not lying here. When he said, I am crucified with Christ, I live, but yet it's not I. There's the real sticker. But it is Christ that that liveth in me. Does that mean you'll never make a mistake? No, I didn't say that. And Brother Branham showed us that. You may make a mistake, but you won't be doing the same thing over and over and over again. No. No. That's not overcoming. And we know what the Word tells us about the overcomer, what they'd do, and where would they be. You know, and those that didn't overcome, what would happen and where would they be? You see? So is this really... Now, I really don't have time for all this tonight, but is it really, I'll ask again, a true reality that we really know what the life of Christ is? Or if we just heard preachers preach on it, we've read the scriptures about it, we have read what Brother Branham said about it, and we're a hope-to-be person. We're a want-to-be person. We're a claimed, self-professing person. We are. Or did it really happen? That's the thing. Did it really happen? Did it really take place? That we can be as Paul said. Like I said, now I know things like this is very uncomfortable. But I'd rather be uncomfortable now and get right than have to stand before judgment when there is not a chance, not an opportunity. It's over with and you're done for. Judgment begins at the house of God. Now, if you don't believe that scripture, why even serving God? What's the reason you're even here? You are absolutely wasting your time. You see? But we are here that God's word would judge us now. We could judge ourselves right now and make sure and see where we're at. You see? Ask ourselves the question. Do I have what I think I have? Do I have what I believe I have? Do I have what I profess to have? Is it truly the life of Christ? You see? All right. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's read a little few scriptures and we'll read some quotes. 2 Corinthians 4 chapter and 10th and 11th verse. Now, some people still think, even with all they've read, what the prophet said and different things, preachers have preached on there, and they still think, really, this life of Christ. Now, come on, are you serious? You think we're going to live the life of Christ? Absolutely, the true bride will. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4, 10-11. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, because he knew what happened by Christ dying for him and this experience he had. See? That the life, now I'm talking about eating food and it digesting and breathing in your lungs and looking at the walls with your eyeballs and all these things. No. It's talking about the actions, the deeds, all these things. You see? The life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Wow. Now you really think Paul has said this and then nobody see it? Don't you remember Brother Bam talking about the token? Every passerby that passes by you sees Christ. Yeah. Now is it a reality? Or is it a wish to be, a hope to be, one day will be, or self-professed I am, or I think I am? And sometimes what we think don't line up with God. I don't care how good we are, how smart we are, how much we know, but oftentimes what we think don't line up with God. You see? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our immortal flesh. No, our mortal flesh. That's what we're in right now. This is the mortal, whether we want to face it or not. This is the mortal. Now, is this a possibility that, oh, this don't mean this? You're taking this all wrong, my brother. I'll prove to by the word I ain't taking it wrong. And no wonder the prophet said there'd be so very, 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 very few. You see? Because this ain't going to be millions, but they'll do this. No. No, no, no. It's going to be very, very, very few. They had to be given something special when they were born in this life. There was a little seed, a gene placed there that this could happen. And if that seed ain't there, it will never happen. Oh, then, Brother Steve, what happens to all these people that, my, even the many, many believers in this message, my, there's thousands, maybe millions of them. We're in the greatest age of deception that ever was. People will think they're Christians when they're not. Brother Branham told us. So there's a fine line that I've got to know for sure, really, where I'm at. It can't be maybe. I can't think. I can't just profess. I can't just believe. It's got to be way more than that, friends. You see? And that's the reality that people are losing. The closer we get to the appearing of the Lord, when it should be getting greater and greater. You know why? Because there's so many distractions. Satan is in his height of deception, and he's doing all he can do to keep this from happening. Because God said it was going to happen. He showed us this in time through the message of that prophet. It would happen. And it's got to happen. You mean people can be really good Christians and know the Bible and the scripture, the quotes and all kinds of things and still be lost? Absolutely. That doesn't mean you're saved. By no means. No means does that mean you're saved. You see? The life is the only thing. When a death angel passes by, friend, he'll pass over. The life of Christ, the anointed, that has taken over you. How many times does the prophet talk about taking over our minds? Yeah. And being the principal theme of our talking, our walks, our thinking, everything. Have we really reached that place yet? That's one thing if we're still climbing and getting to that. But if we've been deceived and think we got it and we don't, that's dangerous. That's very dangerous. To just think you got it whipped and you're going in and everything's going your way when the life of Christ really isn't there. Okay? When your feelings, your actions, all those things about you is estranged, those past feelings and actions, attitudes. It's estranged from you. And now it's new actions, attitudes, desires, completely. You see? Let's go on. Let's read 2 Peter in first chapter. 2 Peter in first chapter, and let's read begin the first verse. These scriptures are not here just to fill pages, friends. They are for reality. And may we be able to face reality tonight, you see. 2 Peter, 1st chapter, 1st verse. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power. Oh, it's divine, friends. It's God. Divine power hath given unto us. If he give it to you, you're very special. Very special. all things that pertain to life. All things that pertain unto eating food and digesting it and going to the draught, or maybe breathing through our lungs and blood pumping through our veins. Nonsense. According as divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's to be like God. God's ways. That is so different than normal human beings. The normal human beings can't come close to this. He has to give you what it takes to come to this. Because just being a human being never happens. Never. He has given you. His divine power hath given unto us. Put you there. You. Me. All things. Whatever it's going to take, friends. If he doesn't give it, it ain't happening. No. That pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us. See where something pulled you and drawed you. Called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding, oh, it's abundantly, great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers. Actually, bring it within you. He places in you, and you become a part of it. Yeah, you're partaking of it. If I partake of dinner with you, then we're both eating the same food. Yeah. The wife puts the steak on the table. She puts the potatoes on the table. She might put the green beans on the table, and we all eat the same food. We're partakers of the same. Partakers of the divine. There's only one divine, that's God. Nature. That's the force, the law of nature. It's the desires, the characteristics. It's the passions, the drives. Yeah. Partakers of the divine drives, passions, desire, characteristics. Actions. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Only through that and by that you can escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. Otherwise, you will not escape. Every opportunity you have, every chance you get, it'll draw you right into that corruption. You'll fight off that corruption. You'll have to try in yourself to stay away from it. It never works. It'll trap you one way or the other. If he don't trap you by going into something in the world and doing it, something worldly out there, he'll trap you on some kind of device and let you be a partaker of it. Corruption. You won't have to go nowhere but in your own home. Taker of that corruption. But we have, by grace and mercy, are supposed to be the people to bypass that corruption that is in the world through lust. All these corrupt actions, corrupt attitudes, all this corruption, fleshly, ungodly, sinful. According as divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I read again. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Ephesians 2, and then I'll read some quotes here. Now, I may read one more scripture after that. I'd like to get these scriptures read. Ephesians 2, let's turn there real quickly. Ephesians 2 in the first verse. And you hath he quickened. Oh my. What is that? I wrote it down. To make one alive together with Christ. Wow. And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins. We once was. And still are if they're not born again. Where in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. Talked about that spirit last Sunday. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Think of that. Some people can't help it. Can't help it. To walk in disobedience. They're controlled. They're controlled by that spirit to cause them to walk in disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Even our conversation means something? Absolutely. Just think of people today that's claiming to be bride and believers and born again. They're claiming all stuff and still have conversations of lust of the flesh. And they think they're all right. That's what I'm talking about, friends. You see? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. What do you think? Even all these preachers that try to get out of church early Sunday morning so they can finish watching a ball game. You think that ain't the lust of the flesh? Carnality? And just skip and read what Brother Branham said. For some reason they missed the little things like Brother Branham said, like the world desires in the ball games, the shouting and screaming and all that, like the world. I miss those little things, you know? Yeah. I know because Sunday, when I mentioned that Sunday evening, I feel a little backlash on that. Yeah. You can love your ball games. Go ahead. Your life shows it. And people will sit and listen to preachers that love ball games and can't wait to hide and try to hide that little place where they can watch it and listen to it and everything. And they'll listen to stinking rats like that. My. People are dead and don't realize it. But they think they're such goody-goody Christians. They don't know what the life of Christ is. Been blinded to it for a reason. You see? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Wrath? Yeah. Those kind of people were heading for wrath, friends. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. So this ain't something you're going to do yourself, is it? By grace, you are saved. If you're partakers of the divine nature, it's by grace, friends. Grace. But sometimes we need to be woke up. really realize really what something is in the Word. Instead of just running over it and just throwing it in the trash can. But we need to understand really the reality. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He raised us up in this position to recognize that we are no longer in that corruption. But now it's his life is to live. You see? We to recognize that. That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's something God gives you. Oh my. Not of works. When Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, I live yet it's not I, but it's Christ, he was not giving no indication, hey, I'd done this on my own. No. Before he was born again, he was shown what he was doing on his own. He was coming against the will of God. He was trying to jail, destroy, kill, sanction to kill God's children. Because he thought he knowed everything. Religious? Oh, yes, very religious. Very smart man, Paul was. But until he received that new birth, friends, his life was a shambles. Yes. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God sure knew what we would do if we could have done this in ourselves. But he wanted nothing to hear of that from us. Nothing. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, or good actions and deeds and decisions, all these different things, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ordained. He already knew in his mind we'd walk in them. Yeah. He just knew he had to take and get some changes done in our lives. Romans 8, let's read this quickly. I'm definitely going to run out of time. I'm out of time already. Romans 8, let's get this in too. Romans 8, first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now watch what he says next. Who walk not after the flesh. Now again, now, seriously, do you think he's talking about we put our shoes on in the morning and we walk down the road, we get in the car and we go to work. We raise our hand from the table and we eat our natural food. You really think that's what he's talking about? No way. No. Who walk not after the flesh, which is carnal reasoning, imagination, all these different things of flesh, sensual, evilness. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's that new birth. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, see, there's a control to it. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the control or law of the sin and death. Before, we couldn't help ourselves. Neighbor would come along and maybe want you to come over to the house and have a drink. I go right over and have a drink, you know, and maybe all the time, maybe you heard the preacher say you shouldn't do it, but yeah, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there just condemning yourself, you know, so condemned, you know, because you know you shouldn't do it, but yet you just couldn't control it. Yeah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. So now a man had trouble maybe going into bars, you know, he can walk by a bar and it won't bother him a bit. Before it would have. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That's why back under even the law, as God's word come forth, it was God's law coming to them, and they could not keep it because they had not the desire to do it. No. So every year they had to offer their lamb and do these things, and they just couldn't do what God said do. They didn't have the desire to do it. But now God gave a people desire to keep it, long for it, love it. Oh, now that changes the way we do things, you see? Now you take the law out here in the land. The speed limit says 60 mile an hour, maybe you're 55. As long as I stay 55 or under, that law means nothing to me. It only becomes a law if I break it. Yeah. Okay? I think. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You're walking with a different desire, friends. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Yeah. Those that ain't born again, friends, they walk after not being born again. They can't help it. Yeah. That's why they think it's funny if they see a bunch of drunks out here fighting and carrying on and getting into this. And that's why they think it's funny, these naked women out here. They think of all this evil-looking stuff and going on and people saying things, slang words. They think it's funny. And then they get to saying the same thing. They think that's life. They think it's funny. Because they ain't born again. They have no more control than anything. See? So they walk after the flesh. So the preacher gets up and he preaches on it, and then they're condemned. And of course, they feel bad, so they ask God to forgive them again, and they go out and do it again. Because they're not born again. Something hadn't changed on the inside. They're after the flesh, they walk after the flesh. They desire the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, a lot of people think still, well, Brother Bram, he said if I had a television, I'd blast that thing out the living room, and I'd do this, that, and the other. And there ain't no scriptures for that. If you'd read that, you'd see that. But people are blind to it. They can't see it. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's peace that comes with that true life, friends. Because the carnal mind is enmity. In other words, God hates it. It's against him. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. It ain't happening. That's why if you don't have a new birth, friends, it's a fight, hassle, rough and tough, and trying to make it yourself do this, that, and the other, and it never happens. You just keep trying. And try again. Fail, try again. Fail, try again. Fail, try again. Yeah. Oh, my. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Wow. I don't know how much plainer he can put it. That's pretty plain. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him, now listen, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Remember what I said Sunday? He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal, he didn't say immortal, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. quickens your mortal body, brings it to life. Christ, a life with Christ. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, or that be a debtor, it's owe. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Not the new birth you ain't, friends. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, let's kill it. You shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh my. Brother Bram sent Jehovah Jireh. Paragraph 106. This was April 2nd, 1964. He was confirming and showing he tore the body of Jesus apart, taking the spirit, lifted up the body to the right hand of the throne of God, and sent down the other part, the part he tore out, the spirit, upon us. So God's spirit ain't strong enough to do this job? It's plenty strong enough if it gets on you and in you. He tore out the Spirit upon us, or he tore out and the Spirit upon us, which is called the Holy Spirit, and the very life that was in Christ is in you. The very life. Now that either can be a reality to me, or it can be a hope. And hope is just wishful thinking. It can be a reality, or it is not a reality. The Spirit of Christ. You would think with people claiming they got the Holy Spirit in this hour, friends, the Holy Spirit must be very weak. There must be much power to it. It ain't got nothing to it at all. They just don't have it. For when that Holy Spirit comes in you, friends, His life comes and will control this flesh body. Yeah. No excuses. It will control this flesh body. It won't be one of these people that says they're believers and Christians, and every time some crazy worldly person comes by with some slang word, you start saying right away, it's nothing but flesh. Sometimes we say things, we don't even know what we're talking about, what it means. Sometimes it's very bad. But we pick it up so easily. Why can't we pick up a quote or a scripture and something in that Bible and live by it so easy? You see? But no, we'll pick up something worldly so easy and live so easily out of this body. Friends, I'm just trying to shake you and get you to realize there is a real life of Christ instead of a professed life of Christ. There is a reality to it. And many people are going to miss it, friend. They're going to miss it. Sure as the world. And the very life that was in Christ is in you. That shows He's your Redeemer. He's adopted you into God. In other words, placed. And now we are sons and daughters of God. With the Spirit of Christ. How could the Spirit of Christ pick up this worldly stuff so easy like people do today? Why, today, if a bunch of brothers get together and message and get goatees, the rest of them want it. If they wear mustaches, they all want to do it. If the ladies wear their little skirts with the pants and all the nonsense zippers and belt loops, they're in, the rest of them do it. So carnal dead! Instead of concerned about what God said to do. Yeah. All they're thinking about is living like somebody else instead of Jesus Christ. They got the wrong goal, the wrong sight and goal. You see? And he said, the works that I do, shall you do also. Of course, people naturally just start thinking, raising the dead, and laying hands on the sick, and casting out devils. That's all they think about. They can't think about what the prophet talked about, that life also coming forth. You see? The works that I do shall you do also. Greater than this shall you do, for I go unto my Father. As the prophet explained it, longer span of time. The spirit that was in him, I think, are we going to listen to this and believe this or understand this, or are we just going to pass it off and throw it in the trash can? The spirit that was in him is on you. Now tell me we shouldn't be acting a little bit different. Instead of so quickly picking up this worldly junk. Yeah. Oh my. Instead of being that person that somebody may cut you off and maybe you couldn't get your car in there, or maybe they cut you short on the highway going to high and you get all upset. Show your anger. Yeah. Don't you think God isn't bigger than that? Oh my. If anybody had a chance or opportunity, I should say, to get angry with people, it would have been Jesus Christ himself with all they was nonsense they was going through. Yeah. But no, we're different people now. You know, we're not like Jesus now. Jesus don't live in people today. You go ahead and let that devil talk to you. But the word tells us otherwise. The spirit that was in him is in you. Eternal life. He is the giver of eternal life. Saints, when I began to go back and read these things as the Holy Spirit was laying upon my heart, I said, oh God, don't let me fall short. Help me, Lord. I'm sure a short place in my life. Help me, Lord. You see? He's a redeemer to bring back that which fell in the fall in the human race, to bring back to God. And the spirit that was in Christ, he says again, is in you. Then what should we be acting like? And if the spirit of Dylan was in me, I'd have guns. If the spirit of an artist was in me, I would paint pictures. If the spirit of Christ is in me, the works that Christ did, you'll do also. He said, amen, that's right. The life that was in him is in you. Transfer the life from anything to another thing. If you could take like a pumpkin and put it in a watermelon vine, it would bear pumpkins. Exactly, he says. You take the life of a peach tree and put it in a pear tree, it'll bear peaches. You know, he talked about before about grafting. Because the life that's in the tree gives the evidence of it. What's he telling us? Now the question is, the big million-dollar question is, does people see Jesus Christ in me? Does he see Jesus Christ in you? Oh, when things go wrong, when the trials and tests come down, why, sure, it ain't no problem when nothing's going on bad. It's when the problem comes, friends, that shows up really what's there. It's the trying of your faith. It's more precious than gold because it lets you know where you stand. But so many people are Christians as long as everything is going just right. That's not the reality. The reality is when everything's falling apart and coming down against you, it shows what you really are. And there is now, he says, and there is how the, he says, and there is how the royal seed through Isaac come, the natural seed that rejected it. In the cross from Ephraim to Manasseh, and was transferred a blessing from light. Let's go on. He goes on. We'll see Abraham. I'll try to save some time. Let me go over here real quickly. He says, this is in the token, paragraph 42. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Not just professors. I mentioned a little bit ago, which is why I did. Not just professors. Do you realize how many professors we got? I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm a believer, and I believe prophets' messages, and I believe the scriptures, and I believe this, and I believe that. Oh, well. You think it means anything? Nothing if the life isn't there. Nothing. Not just professors, but identified believers. They may not follow. He didn't say that. Or they probably will. Or perhaps they will. Jesus said, they shall follow them that believe. Just absolutely impossible for it not to happen. What if Christ is in you? It's impossible for it not to happen. The works that I do, show you also. That's the identification. Jesus' identification was to manifest the Word of God, which he was. And the church's identification today is to manifest the promised Word of this day by the same Spirit that manifested and quickened the Word then. Because it's the same Spirit in you. It was in him that raised his body from the grave. Comes in you. The same, not a different one. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken yours and my mortal body by the Spirit. My, that's some oddball people. That's strange people. The same Spirit quickens the Word to the believer today and manifest the same thing, showing that the token is on this person. And remember, he said, everybody passing by sees it. Everybody. Everybody. Everybody that cuts you off. Everybody that takes your parking spot. Everybody that bumps into you when you're in line somewhere. You might be a slob. He might have tattoos and all kinds of junk on him and smell like marijuana. And bump up to you. And maybe almost knock you over. Are you going to have a self-righteous indignation? Stay on your own property. Or will love be there? Are you a real believer? Do you really have the life of Christ? Showing that the token is on the person, which is the resurrected life of Jesus Christ in his believer. Remember, friends, that man bumping up to you and maybe about knocking you over and may stink like a hog. Ain't nothing what they've done to my Lord Jesus. And opened not his mouth. And prayed for them. And said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Have you got that same Spirit? Oh my. Going to be a lot of surprised faces on that day, friends. It ain't the drunkard. Brother Brown said. He knows where he's going. It ain't the thief. A liar. the ungodly, dumpiest person on earth, that ain't the ones gonna be surprised. But it's gonna be the ones that had to stand before him on that day. And you may say, haven't I prophesied in thy name? Haven't I cast out devils in thy name? Done mighty signs, wonders, works, miracles? And what a terrible hour that ought to be. When that voice, what to say? Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. You knew to do good, and you did it not. Go. Be cast to the lake of fire. But some people can't believe that's real. But it will happen. Amen. Showing that the token is on the person, which is the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. Why don't you come to the instruments, please? Which is the resurrected life of Jesus Christ living in his believer. And Brother Bram says, oh, that ought to set a church afire. Oh my. He said, and that's true. It ought to set it afire. But as we even sit here tonight, and maybe by chance we are one, we think we got, as the old saying is, the tiger by the tail. And we sit here with that thought and that attitude and that knowledge, we think. Why can't you see? Was only given to some. And there will be many today in this age deceived. You may have the thought cross your mind in closing now. But Steve, you're going to lose your congregation. They're going to lose any confidence they ever had. So, if every devil in hell comes against you and begins to accuse you that you have nothing, that you're lost, you don't have any more than that to stand against that enemy, then you ain't got it to start with. This ain't 25, 30 years ago, friends. We're a lot closer to the appearing Lord than we ever was. And it's about time people grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ and the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. It's about time we grow up and be real adults, spiritual adults. Yeah. People have been babied way too long. Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and I'll close on this one. It's not the expression of some church that we should express something. It's a life that you don't live yourself. But he comes in you and lives by his self. You ain't even got a part in it. He takes you over. As Apostle Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. And you become a prisoner to any human intellectual being at all. You're led by the Spirit. Saints, that's what I want in my life completely. That's what has to be in my life or I'm lost. It's what has to be in your lost or life or you're lost. Yeah. Yeah, I know that's hard. I know that's very hard. And you may not believe it. But if you don't believe what I just read was truth,
I put no interpretation. Everything I said, I could back up with what that prophet said. Absolutely. If you don't believe it, you wasn't meant to believe it. No. And you'll never come to the life of Christ. No. Oh, you might be known as a Christian, known as a believer. That don't mean nothing. No. This is the kind of things that need preached in these churches all over this countryside, friends. And they get rid of some of the junk. Oh, they want to baby people. Never grow up. Just be babies all their life. Friends, show me where we match that Bible in the book of Acts. We got a ways to go. Yes. Oh, my. Saints, it's a reality. I'm sorry I have to be the bearer of bad news, if you want to call it that. But if you don't believe it, leave me alone. Because I don't want to miss it. People are so slyly letting Satan crafty and in a crafty way take this out of their life and out of their understanding. Yeah. Just call yourself a believer. Just listen to the tapes. Just read the Bible. Confess you're a believer. Go ahead. But you'll go as hell to hell as fast as you can go. If that life don't come in you and express and live in you. Oh, my. I'm sorry it's what fell the lot tonight. But as I've said before, I've walked this road alone before. And I can do it again by God's grace. But I cannot tolerate sin. People taken away and belittling God's word. Saying they believe a prophet and then take those things away. I have no fellowship in. Every word in that Bible is real. Every word that prophet spoke is real, friend. Yes. And that's why I don't have much fellowship. A lot of preachers don't like me. I've had many of them get upset with me because I've told them and remind them what that prophet said. It's okay. It's okay. I know what's happening. But watch the people flock over all that stuff when they lead this slide, that slide, this takeaway. Oh, it doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that. Brother Branham didn't mean that in Christ's mystery God revealed. You got the wrong understanding when he plainly said it word by word what he said. Oh, my. It's sickening, friends. Yes, it is. And if you want to be a part of that sickness, go ahead. But for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. By God's grace. And I constantly pray, Lord, don't let any of this word ever become just lightly to where the meaning of it and importance of it is dismissed out of my life. But every word be made alive in my life. Oh my. Let us all stand. Dear Lord, help us now. Precious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close this little service, Lord, if I'm wrong, I'm sincerely wrong. But I can't see I am, Lord, when your prophet has plainly spoke these things. The scriptures has plainly spoken. Lord, help us. Oh, God. We haven't much time left. And Lord, when you said the life of Christ, you meant exactly what you said. When you said that same Spirit would come in us, you meant exactly that. There is no thing to reason it away. There's no misunderstanding it. Lord, you meant exactly what you said. We may be able to twist it, turn it, change it,
and not realize it's Satan. Oh, God, help us. May we not listen to that nonsense, Lord. But stay with the truth, Lord. Stay with it. Time's almost over now. And Lord, what we do these next few months, days, whatever it may be, years, will, Lord, come to the outcome of where our destiny will be. Help us, Lord Jesus. I pray for these people, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you keep a hedge of fire about this little place. That, Lord, you'll not let the enemy penetrate it and it's adding to and taking away and discrediting your word. But, Lord, may we keep it just like you said. And if it's not living in us, oh, God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. That's the only way it'll happen. There was a reason you done everything the way you did it, Lord. Why, if it was a life that we all could live, we'd all just do it and everybody go to heaven. But, Lord, your prophet said, this is a life you can't live yourself. And he meant exactly what he said. But people get upset when you tell them the truth about it because they can't live it. They've tried and they failed. They tried and they failed and they tried and failed. Instead of doing what you said to do, repent truly with godly sorrow. Repent and turn away from those past sins and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said you'd keep your promise, Lord, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, help us now. Help us to see the reality of this. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's sing it, Little Horse, I Need Thee, as we're dismissed. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Jesus, help us now and bless us. Keep us safe upon the highways, O God. Bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. In your glorious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I just want to make a little announcement before we leave that they got set up. I'm not sure who actually set it up, but it got set up for February 23rd on a Sunday to get the chapel down to Chillicothe down at the Veterans campus down there, that we could have Brother Geisinger be in service with us, to have a little service there. And we're planning on, Lord willing, now, Lord willing, if nothing changes, service will start at 1:30. So if anybody doesn't know where that's at, Brother Timothy will give you address, Brother Finley. And like I said, we'll have that service down there, Lord willing, at 1:30 on February 23rd, wasn't it? Yeah, February 23rd. So keep that in mind, and I just pray God will bless our brother. Amen. I'm sure he'll enjoy it. Amen. May God richly bless you. You're dismissed.